At last the tunnel began to slope upward, and Harry saw a sliver of light ahead. Hermione tugged at his ankle.
"The cloak," she whispered. "Put the cloak on."
He groped behind him, and she forced the bundle of slippery cloth into his free hand. With difficulty, he dragged it over himself, murmured, "Nox," extinguishing his wand light, and continued on his hands and knees as silently as possible, all his senses straining, expecting every second to be discovered, to hear a cold, clear voice, see a flash of green light. And then he heard voices coming from the room directly ahead of them, only slightly muffled by the fact that the opening at the end of the tunnel had been blocked up by what looked like an old crate. Hardly daring to breathe, Harry edged right up to the opening and peered through a tiny gap left between crate and wall. The room beyond was dimly lit, but he could see Nagini swirling and coiling like a serpent underwater, safe in her enchanted starry sphere, which floated unsupported in midair. He could see the edge of a table and a long-fingered white hand toying with a wand. Then Snape spoke, and Harry's heart lurched. Snape was inches away from where he crouched, hidden.
"My lord, their resistance is crumbling."
"And it is doing so without your help," said Voldemort in his high, clear voice. "Skilled wizard though you are, Severus, I do not think you will make much difference now. We are almost there. Almost."
"Let me find the boy. Let me bring you Potter. I know I can find him, my lord. Please."
Snape strode past the gap, and Harry drew back a little, keeping his eyes fixed upon Nagini, wondering whether there was any spell that might penetrate the protection surrounding her. But he could not think of anything. One failed attempt, and he would give away his position. Voldemort stood up. Harry could see him now. See the red eyes, the flattened serpentine face, the pallor of him gleaming slightly in the semi-darkness.
"I have a problem, Severus," said Voldemort softly.
"My lord," said Snape.
Voldemort raised the Elder Wand, holding it as delicately and precisely as a conductor's baton.
"Why doesn't it work for me, Severus?"
In the silence, Harry imagined he could hear the snake hissing slightly as it coiled and uncoiled. Or was it Voldemort's sibilant sigh lingering on the air?
My lord," said Snape blankly. "I do not understand. You have performed extraordinary magic with that wand."
"No," said Voldemort.
"I have performed my usual magic. I am extraordinary, but this wand, no. It has not revealed the wonders it has promised. I feel no difference between this wand and the one I procured from Ollivander all those years ago."
Voldemort's tone was musing, calm, but Harry's scar had begun to throb and pulse. Pain was building in his forehead, and he could feel that controlled sense of fury building inside Voldemort.
"No difference," said Voldemort again.
Snape did not speak. Harry could not see his face. He wondered whether Snape sensed danger, was trying to find the right words to reassure his master.